Well, as Brad and Rob have alluded to today, we are celebrating our graduates, and so we'll do that at the next service. But it got me to thinking about graduation speeches. I love the idea of graduation speeches. You'll be unsurprised to know I was never asked to give one when I was growing up. It never happened. I've graduated multiple times in my life, going all the way back to pre-K. I did it again at the end of high school. Did it again with an associate's, and then a bachelor's, and then a master's, and then a doctorate. And I've even been invited back to other people's graduations, and no one's ever asked me to say anything. I don't know what the deal is, but maybe one of these days I'll get something in there. But I always love graduation speeches because it's kind of like the last words you get to get in. If you're the institution that's signing off on their degree, it's the last chance that you get to say something to those that have been a part of your program, a part of your institution, before they go out into whatever is next. And sometimes they're trying to get in some last guiding words. Other times they're trying to get in some last little digs. I probably would want to get in a few little digs, if I'm being honest, with those who've been a part of the program. But it got me thinking about this idea. What would you say to someone if you felt like it was the last opportunity you were going to have to say something to them? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how you want to end well, how you want to close chapters well? Have you ever thought about the things you would want your loved ones to hear last from you, the things that you would want them to hear and to know and to have as that lasting memory? Do you have maybe some last words you hope that you will get to sneak in there? Mine will probably be something along the lines of, ouch, or so. I mean, I probably won't be eloquent or anything by the time I get to the end of my journey. But I've always wondered, you know, if you could plan it out and you knew that it was going to be the last things you were going to say, what would you say? Back when I was working in campus ministry and then when I was in seminary, there was a show that was a little bit of a guilty pleasure of mine called How I Met Your Mother. And the show How I Met Your Mother, it was comedy, it was goofy, but there were some moments of seriousness that dealt with the things that we deal with in real life. And one of those episodes was an episode called Last Words, in which Marshall, he's the one yelling at God in this picture that you see staring up at the sky. This is a scene from his father's funeral. And he is turning towards the sky and kind of crying out to God, why was this the last thing that I heard from my father? And the story that built up to that was there was a voicemail that he discovered after his dad had died unexpectedly. And in that voicemail, he thought his dad's last words to him were, son, you've got to rent Crocodile Dundee 3. He thought that was the last thing that his dad had called to share with him. And then at the funeral, he realizes when his service kicks back in that there was one more voicemail that his dad had left for him. And so he goes outside with his friends to listen to this voicemail, and he pulls up the phone and he hits play on the voicemail, and it's a pocket dial. And it's nothing but just rubbling and shuffling, and just you just hear the inside of his dad's pocket. And so he turns and he looks to the sky and he's yelling at God, why God, I had this great life with my dad. I want to hear something from him more than anything. And the last thing I get from him is the rustling of his pocket. What great comfort that will be. I can just have the rustling of my dad's pocket whenever I need to hear from him, whenever I need a word of guidance. And so it just keeps playing. He keeps complaining. He keeps lamenting. And then all of a sudden you hear this voice come on. It says, oh, hey Marshall. Looks like I pocket dialed you. Looks like we've been on the phone for 5 minutes. Anyways, it was really great to see you the other day. I love you. And that's the last words he hears from his dad. Unexpectedly, out of nowhere, and it becomes this beautiful, powerful moment that reminds us that we want to make sure that those last words are words that will last, that are words that are powerful. And what Jesus does in this passage, what we find in this passage, is Jesus gives what he wants to be the lasting words that are left with his disciples. This part of John's gospel that Matt read from a few moments ago, that's part of what we know as the farewell discourse. And these were the last words that Jesus shared with his disciples before he went off to the Garden of Gethsemane and was arrested, tried, and ultimately crucified on the cross. These are the last moments that he will spend, in earthly form at least, with his disciples. Now, there will be more words that are shared later in the Gospels and in the book of Acts that he shared after he had been been raised from the grave. And those are incredible, powerful words as well. But he knows that they are about to face a very crucial moment in just a few days. They are going to experience something that will try them and will challenge them more than anything they have ever faced up until that point. They are going to see their Messiah. They are going to see their master, the one that they have been followed, crucified on a cross. They too are going to be persecuted. They too are going to have to reckon with what do we do next and how do we move through life now that Jesus is gone in earthly form. They are facing the unknown. And Jesus says in these moments, all words of comfort, all words of hope. Now he has little reminders in there that they will face persecution. He has little reminders in there that they will face hard times in life. But he makes a promise to them within these words. And that promise is that the Holy Spirit will be with them always. The Holy Spirit will be with them each step of the way. So the question we have to ask as we look at these passages, as we think about what the Holy Spirit is all about, is what role does the Holy Spirit play in our lives? For those of us who aren't walking in the days of Jesus, who aren't walking in the days of the early church, what do these words have for us? How did these last words of Jesus shape us and point us in the right direction for how we ought to live our lives? What role does the Holy Spirit play for us? Now, we're given two incredible descriptions about what the Holy Spirit is all about. We see this in the Gospel of John, in this farewell discourse, these last words of Jesus, but we also see it in what Matt read from at the beginning of our service, the book of Acts, which is this incredible story that we know as the official title of it is the Acts of the Apostles, but it really ought to be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because all throughout Acts, it is all about the power of the Holy Spirit and what it means to follow and live a life empowered by the Spirit. And so Acts, we find that it emphasizes the power of the Spirit. But John, on the other hand, as he captures these words of Jesus, he emphasizes the presence of the Spirit, the role that the Spirit plays in the everyday life. And so you read Acts, and you're like, oh, this is incredible. Whenever I am facing the Sanhedrin, which is probably not something that you're going to do very often, but whenever I am up against a crisis and have to make a bold proclamation for my faith, I know that the Holy Spirit will be with me. And there are times in our lives that we may need that we may need the power of the Spirit to give us boldness, to give us courage, to stand up and to proclaim our faith. But there's also the challenge of how do we navigate the everyday experiences? How do we navigate the Christian life? And that's where these words of Jesus and the Gospel of John are so incredibly powerful to us because they remind us that the key thing that we see about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is present with us. The presence of the Spirit is what Jesus wanted to make sure his disciples knew all about. And so there are five different promises that are given about the Holy Spirit, and our scripture reading covered three of those, but I want to cover all five. So we'll go back to the first one, which is this. Jesus tells us the Spirit will help and accompany us. We find that in John chapter 14, verse 16. Excuse me. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking words of comfort. And he tells them these words, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and will be with you forever. In other words, he will help you, he will accompany you, he will be with you always. The promise that we need first and foremost, before we can understand what role the Holy Spirit will play in our life, is we need to know that someone is with us. Now, the idea of loneliness is one that just permeates life. In fact, I looked at some research a few years ago, and it said that roughly about a quarter of Americans say that they experience intense loneliness multiple times a week. That when they think about their life, they think about the idea of being lonely, of feeling alone, of journeying through life without companionship, without hope, and feeling as though they're all alone on their journey. And these words of comfort, are so powerful to us because they remind us, first and foremost, that Jesus wanted to communicate before he got into anything else that the Spirit was going to do. He wanted to make sure that they knew that the Spirit was being sent as a helper. an advocate, one that would be with them always, that would accompany them. And in our lives, when we think about what it means to experience the Spirit in our lives, yes, we pray for the power of the Spirit. Yes, we pray for the Spirit to enable us to do incredible things and to serve God in powerful ways. But first and foremost, we just need to know that the Spirit is there. The Spirit is with us. And then we jump down a few verses later, and we get to these words in verse 26. Jesus says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So the second promise, these are all kind of woven together. The second promise is to teach and remind. This promise of the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit will be there to teach us and to remind us. I think those two very clearly go together in my mind. I know when I have taught classes in the past, there is teaching new material, but a lot of the role of teaching is going over the things that I've already gone over again and again and again and again, because the role of the teacher is one who not just introduces new material, but helps to make sure that the material that has been covered is brought back up over and over again, so it becomes second nature and a part of who we are. And Jesus tells us that's what the Spirit is going to do. He is going to teach us all things and remind us what we have learned from Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. And then we get to our passage for today, and we get these last three promises of the Holy Spirit. And it says at the end of chapter 15, it says in verse 26 and 27, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." The Spirit will testify. Now, there's a key verse that follows that, and that's verse 27 that says, "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." In other words, the Spirit's going to do what the Spirit's going to do. It's going to be incredible, but don't you forget that you've got a responsibility in this as well. You are supposed to testify as well. But the idea of the Spirit will testify, how does that work? How does that happen in someone's life? How does the Spirit testify before even someone else comes to testify? We think of testifying as being something that we are supposed to do solely. But Jesus tells us the Spirit will testify. And we believe that that's what happens in people's lives, where before they even hear the message of the gospel, God begins stirring something within their life. There's an incredible story in one of Pete Gregg's books. Pete Gregg writes these incredible books about prayer, and one's called How to Hear God, one's called How to Pray. Very, very simple, helpful books. I encourage you to read both of them. And one of those books, he talks about the idea that he heard in a testimony from a woman who was in an Islamic nation, and she was ready to go and join the militia, and she was going to serve Allah. And she was praying about it. She was torn up about it, but she felt like she was supposed to go, that was the next step for her, that she was supposed to go and serve Allah, and she was supposed to go into the military and to do these missions that would be somewhat terroristic in nature. When all of a sudden, God intervened in her life, and she had Jesus appear to her in a dream. She had never heard the name of Jesus before, but she saw this figure, and it spoke to her to follow him instead. And what ended up happening was she ended up seeking out guidance from whoever she could find that could point her to what that was all about. And she ended up giving her life to Jesus and not entering the militia, not entering into what she felt like she was supposed to do with her life. And it was because before she even heard the testimony of someone else, the Spirit was there testifying to her about the power of God in her life. And she saw and experienced Jesus before anyone introduced the name of Jesus to her. Now, for most people, we are going to be the mechanism that introduces Jesus to them. But we know that we serve a God that has a powerful Holy Spirit at work within the world, that Spirit goes even before us. That Spirit goes even before we are on the scene to testify and to bring the good news. God is stirring hearts and moving in a powerful way and resting on people and moving in people so that they know the truth of the gospel and they are ready to receive even before we are ready to proclaim. The Spirit does that incredible work, and Jesus promises that is what the Spirit is going to be about. There's going to be testimony. And then we get to verse 16, and we get two different images of the role of the Spirit, and the first shows up in verse 8, and it says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Now that word, the phrase there, will prove the world to be in the wrong, is summed up in some English translations a lot more succinctly with the word convict. The Spirit will come and convict. Now, I always, whenever I talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in conviction, I think it's so important for us to make a distinction between the work of condemnation and the work of conviction. We probably have heard the voice of both, but they have two different roles. Condemnation says, you are worthless, you are wrong, you are not loved, you are not worthy. Conviction, on the other hand, says what you did or what you thought is not in the character of who you were supposed to be. Condemnation is the voice of the enemy. Condemnation is all about how we are in the wrong and we ourselves are not worthy. But conviction, on the other hand, says to those of us who follow Jesus, who have the presence of the Spirit in our lives, that it is not the way that we ought to live our lives. And the action is wrong, the thought is wrong, rather than us in our human form being the one that should be condemned. It is the sin instead that is convicted. And I like to think of it, this will go over the heads of probably some of the younger folks in the crowd, but those of you who are my age and older will certainly be able to resonate with this. You remember the Saturday morning cartoons? And pretty much every Saturday morning cartoon had this little motif within it where when someone was in deep thought about something that they ought to do, there would be two characters that would appear on their shoulders. Y'all remember this? So one would be a little angel figure, and the other would be a little demon figure. And television was so much cooler way back then. And so the different figures would appear on your shoulders and they would start speaking. And the one who was the angelic figure was kind of prodding you and say, you know you're not supposed to do this. You know you're better than this. You know that this is not the way that you ought to live. And the demon figure, on the other hand, is going, go ahead and do it. It'll be fine. I mean, just trying to like encourage you to do something that you know you shouldn't do and that's going to be in the wrong. And that's a little bit of what the Holy Spirit is like, not the demon figure. But the Holy Spirit is there to just point you in the right direction, to show you the way that you ought to go, to show you what your values are supposed to be about, and to show you who you are. The character that you are supposed to have is someone who has been redeemed by Jesus and lives your life for Jesus. Ought to be one where you are walking in that freedom. And we know in that freedom, Romans chapter 8 tells us that there is therefore no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we live by the Spirit. We live by the promise of the Spirit, and we live according to the conviction that's given to us. We live according to the guidance that the Spirit gives to us. But we don't walk under the condemnation of being worthless because we have been made redeemed and whole and worthy to stand before God because of the grace of Jesus and because of the work of the Spirit within our lives. And so the Spirit will be there to convict us. And so for anyone out there graduating, don't worry if you were worried that your parents won't be there to tell you what to do. Holy Spirit is going with you. The Holy Spirit will be there to guide you and to point you in the right direction. Which brings us to our last promise, which we find a few verses later in verse 13, when it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. In other words, there's going to come a time where you're not going to necessarily know the right thing to do or not. You're not going to know whether you should turn to the left or you should turn to the right. You're not going to know if this is the right next step for me or this is the right decision. But we're reminded that Jesus gives us the Spirit, and the Spirit will be the one to guide us into all truth. I remember several years ago going and touring the Vatican. And if you've ever been to the Vatican is just like a chaotic place when there are tours going on. There are just people everywhere. And we were a part of a tour group. And the only thing that would keep us together as a tour group was our tour guide had this long stick with a flag on the end of it. I think our color was orange. And we knew that whenever we looked around that big crowd, if we could find that orange flag sticking up, poking up in the air, we knew that that was where our guide was. And so we could hear, we had these headsets on, but we didn't always know which way to turn. We had to look and we had to find it. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like that in our lives. We don't always know which direction we ought to go, but if we can find our way back to the Holy Spirit, if we can let the Holy Spirit be our guide, we can follow in the right direction. There is, when people think about the Holy Spirit, they often wonder to themselves, you know, I mean, what's it like to hear the Holy Spirit in your life? How does that work? How does the Spirit guide us? There's a great example I heard many years ago that has always resonated with me. And it's the story of a guy by the name of Jimmy Reed. Jimmy Reed was a blues musician back in the first half of the 20th century. And he apparently had a hard time remembering the lyrics. And this was in the days before, I don't know if you all know this, but there's a little cheat screen in the back of this room. Don't think that Matt and Kenji and the ladies who sing up here actually know the words to these songs. They don't. They're all up on the screen back there. And back before they had these little, what they're called confidence monitors, back before they had those, people just would go into the studio, and if they didn't have the music in front of them, they had to remember the words. They had to remember the notes. And Jimmy Reed apparently would get so caught up in the music that he would forget what he was supposed to sing next. And so what he did was his wife would go along with him into the studio, and if you listen really closely to some of his recordings right before he goes into the next section, you'll hear this faint voice of a woman whispering. And she's whispering the lyrics, telling him what the next step is going to be. And that's a little bit like the Holy Spirit is in our life. I can't say that every single day I wake up and go, Holy Spirit, what are we doing today? And I get this, you know, verbatim, detailed agenda for the day. That would be awesome if that happened. That would be incredible. But it's a little bit more like whispering the lyrics. Here's where you go next. Here's what you're about to face. Here's how I will be with you the next step of the way. The promise of Jesus in that is that promise of I will be with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. About 20 years ago, I had the chance to travel all over the state of Georgia one summer and be a part of some youth weeks, and it was incredible. We did a lot of really, really cool things and got to work with some incredible churches throughout the state of Georgia. And everywhere we would go, we were basically like your entire youth week in a van. So we would get out of the van, and it was like people would just hit play, and all of a sudden we were in charge of everything. We had to do the music. We had to do the speaking. We had to do the games. I mean, we had to do the activities, everything that was going to happen. And there was one church that we were at that was particularly hard. It was really, really difficult. But there was this guy who was working with that youth group over the summer. He was a college student as well. And every night he would come up to us, and he had this little anointing oil keychain. And he would open up his keychain, and he'd pull out a little bit of anointing oil, and he would just kind of put the mark of the cross on the forehead, kind of like we did with you earlier when you were confirmed. And he would say, this is to remind you that the Holy Spirit is with you and that God is going to work through you. And every night, we just got that message over and over again. You know, this is to remind you that the Holy Spirit is with you always. The Holy Spirit is present and moving in your life. And we thought it was the coolest thing. We're like, well, where'd you get this keychain from? This is the most incredible thing. Like, we thought it was so cool. And slowly but surely, this church that had these very closed-off, hard-headed youth, parents that weren't really engaged, were struggling to get across the message. Slowly but surely, by the end of the week, we started to see God move in incredible ways. We ended up getting to be a part of a kid's baptism at the beach the last day that we were there. We saw just an incredible move of God. It was almost like those prayers were working. The Holy Spirit was truly with us. And when we got ready to leave, I was the van driver for our group. And so we got ready to leave, and I'm pulling out the key to go. And that intern from the youth group said, I want to give you something. He pulled out this keychain right here. He said, it's a reminder. The The Holy Spirit is with you always. And you know, every time I get to church on a Sunday morning, you know what I reach into my pocket and pull on to get my keys to come out of my pocket? It's this right here. Now, true story, the little vial that holds the anointing oil is made of glass and it breaks, and so it's empty now. But the story is still powerful in my life. Every time I go to walk in my house, every time I go to open up the door to the church, every time I walk into my office to grab my Bible and get ready to preach, there's that reminder again that the Spirit is with you. The Spirit is with you always. And Jesus' last words to his disciples, I think the words that we need to hear the most in our lives with the challenges that we will face, the difficulties we will encounter, the struggles we will endure, the things that we will need to know how to navigate, and we will be asking, which direction do I turn? I don't know which way I ought to go. The message we need to hear more than anything is the Holy Spirit is with you. God is with you. And those words are the only words that we need to hear at last.